Like if you have gotten to the point where you are a professional photographer, you are making income from taking photos at any level. It's not hard for to take a, it's not hard for you or anyone to take a good photo. Like you got there because you take good photos. And so for me, I try to remind myself of that. Like it won't take much for me to do a good photo, but if I push myself to try to do an even better photo, like what would that look like?
Before we get into your work, Felicia, just give us a little rundown about who you are as a photographer and the kind of work that you do.
Okay, I am a portrait photographer. I'm based in Los Angeles, originally from Atlanta. So I'm a Southern girl on the West Coast. And I've been a portrait photographer or photographer in general full time for about 4.5 years now. And before that, I used to work in finance for almost 10 years. So had somewhat of a non-traditional switch in life. But I'd say it's working out for me so far.
That's great. I mean, I think photography sounds like a much more fun and creative pursuit than the finance industry.
Definitely, completely different. Yeah, but I've always been a creative person, and it just took a little bit of like growth and maturity and learning more about myself as I became more of an adult to know like where I felt like I was best suited to just be a person. And I think I'm better as a creative. But don't be confused. The finance world that I live definitely helped me in this new life. So like dealing with budgets and negotiations and things like that are a little bit easier for me to navigate than if I didn't live that life for a good amount of time. But naturally, I think I'm more of a creative person, so I definitely enjoy being a photographer more. I can say that
Interesting.
confidently now and not worry about needing to find another job sometime soon.
That's great. I mean, most photographers really want to focus more on the creative part than on the budgets and administrative things. So the fact that you have like that foundation before you even got into the creative part, I think, sets you up for, a little bit easier route when it comes to managing money.
Probably that piece of it. I mean, when I think of being a full-time photographer, especially if you are an independent photographer and aren't represented by an agent or agency, there are a lot of different pieces to the puzzle that you have to navigate, or I can speak for myself that I have to navigate that aren't just taking pictures. So if I'm thinking of like the full pie that I have to work out on my own, that one piece was like, all right, I don't have a huge hurdle here, but there's 50 other things that I do. So I'm sure everybody comes in with like one small bit of advantage that's different than the next. But the
Absolutely.
fight
It's
is the same for everybody.
it's just how you use that your particular advantage to your advantage, right?
Yeah, very
Indeed.
true.
So, Felicia, you are a portrait photographer. You're based in LA. That sounds like a it's like if you're either in New York, LA, or Atlanta right now, I think those are some of like the really hot spots to be a working photographer, especially with portraits and the kind of work that you do. It looks like you focus a lot on women of color in like the entertainment space. So we'd love for you to start to just dive into some of that work. So I'm going to share my screen real quick. Yes, so cover of the Hollywood Reporter, you have we have Viola Davis
Yes.
and who's the sister
Gina,
next?
she's a director, Gina
Jean,
Prince Bythewood.
yes, I just watched The Woman King for the first time. It took me a while to watch it, and I was blown away. Blown away. I was inspired. I think I went out and started working out because I was like, the sisters on there were so powerful and strong and just like dedicated. I was like, I'm hype. I got to do something with all this energy, right? So, and afterwards, I remember saying to myself, like, I will watch anything with Viola Davidson. She's amazing. She is amazing. So, but the fact that you were able to, make this beautiful portrait to go on to bless the cover of the Hollywood Reporter, I wonder if you could just walk us through Like what? Like you're chilling, you get the phone call or the email, like, "Hey, Felicia, we want you to photograph Viola Davis and Gina Prince Bythewood." Like, what goes through your head when you get that call or that message?
I was excited. Yeah, I was definitely excited. I think anytime I can speak about like the behind the scenes of doing a shoot, I try to be as transparent as possible so people understand like the reality of doing a shoot like this. And so in particular with weekly magazines, Hollywood Reporter is a weekly magazine, the turnaround time is also very fast. So I don't remember like the exact dates, but I'm pretty sure I got the email and then the shoot was like the next week. And so that is basically a week, maybe a week and a half to prepare, get a team together, think of a creative. There was no creative, which I like. I like having the creative freedom, especially in the editorial space. I think it's one of the benefits of working with editorial is being able to express yourself and come up with new ideas and just try some things. And so that process, yeah, it basically has to move very fast. You go from zero, I'm not trying to be like a comedian or anything, but you go from zero to 100 really fast. It's like there's nothing, and we have to have a lot of things finalized within a few days so that the talent and their team and their glam teams and everyone can be where they need to be on time. And they know what they need to execute, especially when you're talking about looks. So even though the shoot may be a week or a week and a half away, I didn't have like a week or a week and a half to put together like an idea because they have to approve it. And then when we're talking about wardrobes, especially with two people, them being succinct about what they're going to wear. So there's a lot of other players that need to do their jobs and do their part and make sure they have their things in order. So it goes very fast. And some of that is me having to trust my gut and my creative instincts because with this particular shoot, I definitely tried some new things conceptually. It's not necessarily shown in this picture, but there were a few other setups. I was trying some things that I had never done before and wasn't really sure how to pull it off. But I guess I explained my vision. Everybody said okay. The team said okay. And then I had to figure out how to pull it off in a few days. So that part about doing this shoot was like very exciting. And also, like when I met both of these ladies in person and them being like open and willing to, move forward and go through with the visions that have been presented to them and being very easy to work with, made it all around like a really good shoot because both of these women are like powerhouses in the industry and they've done like some incredible things. They're also like polar opposite. You have one who's very much in front of the camera and one who's very much behind the camera. And just conceptually and creatively, one thing I was really trying to do is create balance between the two so one didn't seem more powerful than the other, so or more important than the other, especially because when you think of consumers and people who consume media, a lot of people are familiar with Viola Davis because she's the one in front of the camera. But Gina Prince Bythewood has done a lot of amazing things too, and I wanted to make sure that both of them got like a spot. It was a spotlight on both of them. It wasn't just a spotlight on one person with the other person kind of in the
Yeah, in
shadows.
the shadows.
So trying to create that balance was also, it was interesting on set.
So
Just two different personalities.
you get this call and you don't, it's out of the blue. You're not prepared. You have to get prepared very quickly. Like, how do you start to come up with your concepts? Like, how do you think about these two powerful women and then how you're going to portray them? Like, what's your process for that?
I would say the process comes about in phases. I'm actually the most creative in the middle of the night. So it's also like when it feels like it's the quietest because, we talked about briefly before this, like your notifications, your phone's ringing, like there's so many distractions. So part of it is like me needing to like be still and be quiet and just think and digest whatever inspiration that I've already saved previously. And so in this particular case, I was probably up at 3 o'clock in the morning looking at things that I saved on Pinterest. So I recommend that to anybody who's a creative. Anytime you come across something that inspires you or just piques your interest just a little bit, just save it. Mm-hmm. So that when you are in need of something, you can just go to that mood board or go to that folder that you have on your Google Drive or go to that folder in your phone and just look at what you've already saved and see what jumps out at you. And so that's usually what I do if it's something like this where it came up out of the blue. I wasn't like necessarily waiting for it. I just go to what things that I've already saved. And then if I see something like that may lead me to a different direction, and it kind of just goes from there. And then I may have like 10 things that I'm looking at. And then I start to think through, like, what am I trying to say? What is also logistically feasible? You know, like, what can we actually execute considering like the resources and the time? And so then it kind of gets narrowed down from there.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with the same team? Or do you like have a team of go-to people that you work with consistently? Or does it vary from one project to the next?
It does vary, mostly because everybody's freelance, so it really just depends on who's available. I do have, I say I have a core group of people that I reach out to frequently that I like to work with, but who I end up working with on each shoot just depends on who's available.
Yeah, and I imagine you might travel for some of these projects as well.
Yeah.
Right, so in different cities, different, you know, locations, you have to work with different talent there, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, though, when I travel, I mean, I think I can make this blanket statement that every time I can bring my first assistant with me. But I say majority of the time, I can't think of a time where I couldn't. So that helps to be able to at least have one person that I have a good working relationship with that I can bring. And then I may have to work with local crews where I am. But I usually prefer to have at least one person that I have a good working relationship with, because it just makes the day a little easier.
And the first assistant is super important, because they, the one that you establish the most rapport with, they sort of learn your nuances and how you work best. And they even learn like the temperature water that you like to drink or whatever. You know,
yeah,
like,
I mean, I'm not that type of person, but yeah.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, to a certain extent, they learn to understand, you know, certain nuances that help you to do your job better, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, anytime, like, once I've worked with someone a few times, there is, like, an unspoken language that we've kind of developed that just makes it easier to go throughout the day, especially if there's a shoot where we have to work quickly. There's some things that we just don't have to say that are like introductory conversations.
Nice. So beautiful image. I like the fact that they're in all white, you know. There's something very spiritual about seeing women of color in all white that is sort of like this quiet power that exudes from them. And It's what, for me, there's this respect that I have for, you know, it's a different kind of respect. Like, it doesn't feel forceful. It just feels more like these women respect themselves, and the respect that they have for themselves extends outside of them, and anybody who's in their presence will respect them because of the respect they have for themselves. And that's sort of what I get from this photo.
Yeah, I'm glad you think that. And when you mentioned that, it made me remember like specifically where this idea came from. And so when I was younger, my mom was a collector of black art when I was growing up. And so when I was younger, there was artwork I couldn't find. I tried really hard. I called my mom. I was like, can you send me this one picture? She didn't know what I was talking about. But when I was younger, there was this artwork that I saw once upon a time, and it was a photo or like an illustration, artwork illustration of black women, and it was all white, but all you could see was like their skin. It's like you knew they were wearing clothes, but it was just like all white, and you just saw their skin. And that's kind of what I was trying to portray with this. And I remember I tried so hard to find whatever memory I had. I tried to find it on the internet and I couldn't find it. So I had to find other ways to kind of convey the message. But I'm glad you, when you saw this, you got that understanding from it, because I had a similar like appreciation and understanding from a childhood image, and I wanted to bring it to life.
It's so amazing when like those early experiences, we're able to recall them in the present, you know, and we don't know how or when or if ever we're gonna, you know, recall some of these experiences, but when we do find ways to bring it back into our present, it's really dope. So I'm gonna move on to you have a bunch of photos that are just dope. So hopefully we get to get through them. All right, Simone Biles. Let's talk about this image. Who was this photo made for?
This is for People Magazine.
For people, okay.
This is for People Magazine, and it was shot in Simone's gym in Texas, in Houston.
She has her own gym.
Yeah, she has her own gym. And the
Beautiful.
one thing that stands out to me the most, and anytime I show this photo to people, I tell them about this, but the one thing that stands out to me the most when I did this shoot was that the gym was still occupied with gymnasts practicing. Like, we didn't have this place to ourselves. So I remember we walked in and they kind of told us the corner that we were going to set up in the gym, and I just see young gymnasts everywhere, like tumbling. And I'm like, oh, okay, so what time do they finish practicing? And they're like, they're here, they're not leaving. And I was like, oh wow, all right.
So what did
So,
that do for you and your the way that you normally work?
I think it just took a few minutes for me to like take in the space, you know, like it was just different. It wasn't like it was gonna change my process. It was just mostly like, we're not in a studio where like everything, because I guess I'm used to dealing with talent where you are brought to a place where it's like secluded and only the people who are approved to be there will be there. And so it was kind of just different. It was kind of like, all right, this is what we're doing. Let's do it. And then the longer we kept going through it, I was like, this is actually a really good thing, because you can't see it in this image because there were a few frames we asked the gymnast to stand to the side just so we can get some clean shots. But there are some of my favorite frames are the ones where you actually see them tumbling in the
In the
background or like
background,
peeking over and like looking at her. And throughout the day or throughout the shoot, I thought about it and I was like, this is actually important for them to see, because if they're on the same track or they are aspiring to be on the same track as her, like they need to see that this is part of the job. Like, she was doing magazine features and covers and interviews while also still practicing and going to the Olympics. And so I actually thought it was pretty powerful for her to allow them to like see her in that light and also be so down to earth in some sort of way. Like, she just, I mean, it's her gym, but you know, it's like she still walks through there like any other person, you know, like she's within reach of people who I'm sure like really look up to her, like young gymnasts who like really look up to her. So, once I got over the initial shock of having tumblers everywhere, I was like, oh, this is actually cool. Let's do this. They need to see this. This is inspiring.
Absolutely. And they get to see like what some of the hard work that they're putting in could actually equate to, right? So let's talk about some of the details of this photo. All right. So there's an interesting contrast happening, right? You know, you have Simone Biles in this like huge, elegant gown, but like laid out on a balance beam. Right. So, was this one of your concepts at 3 a.m.?
So, when people reached out, they already knew they wanted it to be on a textured backdrop. So this was part of a multi-cover issue. And so the one piece that was consistent throughout each cover was like the texture backdrop. It could be a different color, but it needed to be a backdrop. And so I knew that piece. They told me they would be in that she would be in the gym. And then when we were just talking through creatively, like picking through like what color backdrops, and then also like we need some options for her to sit and for her to stand. And just talking through it, I was like, I don't think she should sit in a chair. And this was just me like just thinking off the top of my head. I was like, she's a gymnast, like she probably has other cool things that she could sit on. And so I remember like on the call, it wasn't specific to a balancing beam. It was more so like, well, when I get to the gym, let me just look around and see if she has like, if there are just things in the gym that she could sit on. And I do think a balance and beam was like one thing I thought of, but I wasn't like sold on it. It was mostly just let's see what's out there. And so when I got there and I saw the balance and beam, so she's actually on a, I believe it's a child's balance and beam. It's smaller. The adult size one is huge. It's actually very big and it's hard to just easily transport. So when I saw the bigger one, I was like, she can't sit on that because I don't know how we're gonna move it. Like that seems like a whole thing. And this balancing beam was actually like tucked away in a corner somewhere, like behind some other things. And I kind of like saw it peeking out, and it was pink. And I was like, "Oh, this is perfect. I think she could sit on this, and like I could easily pick it up by myself." I was like, "This is perfect." So I like took a picture and I ran it across. It was either her or her mother to just make sure they were okay with it, and they were like, "Yeah, that's fine." But aesthetically, I thought it was going to be perfect just based on what the tool itself symbolizes for her. Like if it, like everybody can't sit on a balancing beam, like it doesn't mean anything. I was like, but she can stand on it, she can, do all these things. And then also aesthetically, I thought it worked.
I mean, looking at the whole picture, it feel everything feels like it belongs together, right? And I know we've all heard the term think outside the box, right? But what I feel like you did with this image is you thought outside of the box, but still within the proper box. It's kind of weird. I don't know if that makes sense, right?
I get
But
what you're saying.
a chair didn't make sense, but a balancing beam does. And the balancing beam to me is what's outside of the box, but it was so outside of the box that it actually makes perfect sense for her. And if you put me on this balancing beam, right, I'm going to sit down a certain way because I'm not going to balance on it very well and I'm going to be uncomfortable, right? But for her, a balancing beam makes sense, and she could sit on this and look completely comfortable in her element because she's used to this thing. That's probably how she rests when she's actually training, right? Who knows? But that makes so much sense for her to sit down on this, you know. So, one thing I'm really interested in with photographers is how we think, how we solve problems on the fly, right? Like, you had to wait until you got into this gym to figure out a different, platform for her to sit on, and you wouldn't know it until you got there. And then once you get there, you have to think about all of these things as far as making sure that the light is right and got the proper background and all. And then there's the young people tumbling in the background. You have all these different things that you're concerned with, but then you also in the back of your mind, it's like, I have to figure out that thing that she's going to sit on. And we're always like troubleshooting as we go. So I love the fact that you were able to focus on the main part, which is getting this beautiful portrait of Simone Biles, but also those smaller details that help to bring the whole thing together. So that's, it's really dope. And thank you for sharing that story.
I mean, one thing I can say really quick about thinking on the fly, I think preparation helps with that. And so even though like this was a definitely on the spot type of decision, we had chairs ready. Like we had like some stools and some chairs. We actually had two backdrops delivered because we weren't sure which color would work based on what she was going to wear, because that was also something we wouldn't find out until the day of. And so I think as much preparation that anybody can do, so that if what we've prepared for comes out and shows up the way it should, then we know we can deliver. And then the extra stuff, like the thinking on the fly, will just complement that. I think that would have been much harder to do if I didn't prepare for everything else. Like this was
Absolutely.
just extra. It also gives the client some comfort when I'm like, "Oh, I'll figure it out when I get there," when they know we have chairs. So if she doesn't find something, there are
So,
chairs.
and I think that's important, right? I think that's important for young photographers to hear. Because, just like the young gymnasts that are tumbling around the gym and they see Simone, in the spotlight while you're photographing her, the same goes for a lot of young photographers who may look at your work and be like, wow, how do I go from taking pictures of my friends at their house to like photographing like some of the biggest names in entertainment, right? And we need to sometimes know that it doesn't happen overnight, and that there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. So if you didn't find this pink kids, balance beam, you know that bare minimum, there were a few stools, there were a few seating options. You know that you would get that at bare minimum. But this kind of elevates it and brings it over the top, right? So I think in preparation is knowing that if I can't find the perfect thing that I need, I still have enough here to make a really good photo. But if I have that, if I find that perfect item, which you did, then that's just going to make the image, feel a lot more elevated, you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, you have a so far, these were three covers, right?
Yeah, they were. There were three covers.
So, talk to us, like, how did you, what, do you remember your first cover that you
Yes,
photographed?
I do remember my first covers. It was actually more than one.
At the same time?
It was the Actors Roundtable for the Hollywood Reporter. And so it was six different covers. And this was in 2020. And four out of the six were shot virtually, though. So I remember it was like I was excited, but then I was like, of course, my first covers are gonna be virtual. Like, how do you shoot a virtual cover? It's like I had dreamed, like, oh, when I shoot a cover, I'm gonna have all the things, like I'm gonna have a gigantic team and we're gonna be on the perfect location and the wind's gonna be blowing and the sun is gonna hit perfectly, like you just have this dream vision. And that was not it. It was four of them were shot virtually, and the other two that were shot in person were I was by myself because of COVID. So there was no team, there was no one. Like I remember I was holding a bounce board and I was trying to like stretch my body and take the picture and get the light.
Oh my
So
God.
yeah, but I love those covers. They came out really nicely and I try really hard for people to not know that they were shot virtually. So usually when I tell people they're virtual, they get surprised.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, and this is a harsh reality, but nobody cares, right? Nobody cares how the image was made. And I hope that people hear this and understand, like, your story behind the image. If there's a good story behind the image, cool. It's great after you make the image, right? But I just hope people understand that nobody cares how much blood, sweat, and tears you put into making a photo unless that photo is really good. Like, sometimes people like, and this is why photographers, it's hard for us to be the editors of our own work, because we might remember this image that we made, and like you said, you're leaning over trying to balance and do, and you might think about all the work it took to make that one image, but if the image is subpar, the people, the audience doesn't care about how much work you
They're
put
just
into
like,
it.
it's not a good picture.
It's not, but you're like, but you have to respect this picture because I put so much work in. Nobody cares, right? But a good story is a good story, right? So, so tell us about this image.
Yeah, this is in person. This is not virtual. Yeah, this is a Jessica Williams for Essence. And this is actually, I say, one of my most popular series of images. I get a lot of compliments about this photo, and it ends up on a lot of mood boards when people reach out to me
Dope.
to do shoots. So that's always nice because I'm like many artists and photographers, I'm like pretty hard on myself. So sometimes I look at things and I'm like super critical, but then when I see a lot of people like it, I'm like, oh, I guess it's okay.
Okay, so looking at this image, what are you critical about?
I probably, so I play around with things in front of the lens a lot. And so this is an in-camera effect that you see. And when I see it, I'm like, I probably should have had more of her hair showing.
On the
It's
left
a
side.
very, yeah, on the left side, it's a very subtle thing that doesn't, it probably won't even do much. But yeah, that's, it's little. I try not to get too much into like the nitpicky things I see because I don't want people to see the image differently. It's mostly just things that I take and move on to the next project to be like, this is how you get better. Try something different next time.
Have you forgiven yourself for not letting more hair in?
Oh yeah, no, I don't, it's not a big deal.
Okay. I
Yeah.
think it's
It's
important. I think it's important as creatives to look at our work and celebrate the things that we did well, also acknowledge the things that we think we could have done better, and also how do we move on from that? How do we take the things that we didn't do so well? How do we carry that with us into the next project and make the next project a little bit better because we implemented that thing? You know, I think that's important.
Yeah, but overall, this was a really fun shoot. She was great to work with. And, since we're talking about the behind the scenes, this was originally supposed to be shot in an outdoor location, and the location changed like the day before or like 2 days before, and we needed to go inside to a studio just for like logistical reasons. And so when I was speaking previously about having to move quickly, make decisions quickly, this was another situation where we were planning to shoot outside. I had ideas based around the outdoor location, and then it quickly changed to a studio location. So we kind of had to revise the plan. So I think it's always just important to be flexible and, have ideas, but not be too married to them because it's a collaboration at the end of the day. Like, I'm just one piece of the puzzle, and I could have this idea about how to do something, and then things could change because the other end of the puzzle wants to go about it a different way. So I have to be flexible and adjust, and we get to an end goal together.
So what was it, a revision of an idea or completely you had to like completely revamp it?
I wouldn't say it was completely revamped, mostly because I shot her against a backdrop. And so that's not that difficult, when shooting someone against a backdrop. I think the biggest difference was we're no longer shooting like on location. So any reference in the mood board that dealt with being outside or being in an environment, that's not the case. We may have to try to make an environment indoors and see how we can do that. So there was like one setup where we kind of had a little bit more going on other than just backdrops.
Because when you do out when you do outside on location, you can set up a backdrop, still get a very similar shot as this one that you have, but then you might see something happening in the environment. The sun might be doing something cool, and then you can quickly pivot and start getting additional shots in that one setup, right?
Yeah, I think you can improvise a little bit more on
Absolutely.
location, which is exciting, excuse me, compared to being in a studio. And when you set up strobe lights, the lights are set to light in a particular way. And so, like, the areas that you have the freedom to move to are not, they're not as vast as if you're on location because the sun lights every direction, whereas like your strobe light may only be pointing in one direction or two directions. So that's probably the only difference is we just had to change what we're going to try to achieve that day based on being inside on a backdrop compared to outside.
And hair and makeup, we haven't spoken about this yet, right? So I know you wherever you go, you do your best to go with your first assistant. But how do you, so you know, when you go on a portrait shoot, there's a lot of personalities that have to be managed, right? And this is, you know, when I was a amateur photographer, I had no idea that there were people who were responsible for certain things. I didn't know that there was a first, sometimes second assistant. I didn't know that there was a hair and makeup person, a stylist, you know, a digitech. I didn't know like all of these people can represent you as your team, right? As the photographer's team. How do you manage not only the personalities of the talent that you're photographing, but then also the team that you work with?
So one thing, let's see, I have like a few different thoughts to that question. So one thing when working with glam teams, a lot of times I don't have a say on who the glam team is made up of, especially in like the COVID, post-COVID world. Like a lot of a lot of the people I photographed developed these bubbles because they needed to, like the safety bubbles of like, this is who's on my team, this is who I'm around all the time for safety reasons. And so there wasn't a lot for me to contribute to say, oh, this should be the makeup artist or the hairstylist. It's kind of like, this is who they trust, who's on their team. So anytime I get a shoot, many times it's me just asking who is the hairstylist, who is the makeup artist, just so I can familiarize myself. And then it's also a collaboration of like working with them too, not just the talent, because they are dressing whoever I'm photographing. They're doing the hair, they're doing the makeup. And so one way I found to kind of help with that collaboration and kind of help with the conversation around it is when preparing mood boards to be as like detailed as possible or as open as possible, just depending on what the mood board is. So like, whether it's, using descriptions as whimsical or saying patterns like this could work or no patterns or materials like this or hair that's back in a ponytail or hair that's like free flowing. Because I also like respect glam teams, and I also understand and I'm okay with the fact I am not a hairstylist, I'm not a makeup artist, I'm not a wardrobe stylist. So I want them to bring like their full skill set to the table. I'm not trying to tell them how to dress a person because I don't know. That's not my job. Like, I take pictures, but I can kind of help communicate the vision so that we all come to the same place. Like, we arrive at the same place of what we're trying to do. So I can say like the patterns like these may look good, or silhouettes like this may look good, or natural makeup. Like, I just for my personal aesthetic, I do like skin, and I like the makeup aesthetic to be more natural. So a lot of times when I recommend a makeup aesthetic, it's probably not going to be something elaborate unless that speaks to the person's personality already. So I do also recognize I'm a portrait photographer. So if I'm photographing someone where makeup is their thing and they do, really bold lips or really bold eyeshadow or really bold blush or something like that, then it's like, let's lean into that because that's who they already are. Otherwise, I'll probably say let's try to keep it natural.
And the
But
reason why I
still, yeah.
asked that question was because, Jessica Williams has this these
Yeah.
like dots, these glitter dots over her eyes. And that's something that I probably would never think of.
Yeah, I didn't. The makeup artist did that, and I loved it. I was like,
So
that looks
then,
good to me.
so like, is this something that is known ahead of time? Like, do you have like a pre-production call to say like, hey, this is what we're thinking with the makeup, this is what we're thinking with the hair and the wardrobe, and then kind of make it collaborative that way? Or how much of it is you showing up and then some of these things you have to navigate? Wow. Just like what you did with the Simone Biles shoot, you have to navigate once you get on set.
Yeah, for this particular shoot, there was a pre-production call, and Jessica Williams was actually a part of it, which was nice because that doesn't always happen to get the talent on the call. And so we did have a call where we looked through all the wardrobe options that were available at that time, knowing more would probably turn up by the time the shoot came about, and kind of like talking about different hair ideas, different makeup ideas. So it was nice having her on the call so she could say what she was leaning toward and what she liked, and then also like what we thought would just work well as a unit. But when you get into like the details, like the nitty-gritty of this is exactly what the eyeshadow is gonna look like, no, that's like very rare. It's usually, at least for me, a little more general and like natural, maybe a hint of lipstick, like,
It doesn't seem as
yeah.
fun when somebody's like, this is how it's gonna go, and
Yeah.
it's gotta kind of be open to like, collaboration, because you're seeing
Yeah.
something from photographer's perspective, and they're seeing things from their relative experience, and when everybody's sort of open to different possibilities, but still have their influence on it, right? Then it leads to something that everybody feels connected to, right?
Yeah. And I'm also like, just again, a piece of the puzzle. So you have the glam team, you have the person being photographed, and then you also have the client. So like there's the creative director and the essence team on the call as well. Like they have something they're trying to achieve in terms of what message they're trying to write about. So there's a few different like viewpoints that we have to consider and find a happy medium, if that is the best way to explain it. And so because of that, I think it is hard to be very specific. It's mostly like weeding out what we don't want, really, you know, like getting that out of the way. And then when we get to the shoot, it's kind of like people bring a few different ideas and they can see what everybody's bringing to the table. Like they can see, oh, these are the backdrop options we have, which is like in my department. They can see, oh, these are the clothes that we actually have. She has to try the clothes on. Let's see what actually fits her, because we don't know what's going to fit or what she's actually going to like gravitate to when she sees it on her body. And so part of it is you need to be open to piecing things together in person, because there are just some things you can't figure out beforehand. Specifically with editorial, bigger commercial shoots is different. But I'll say editorial, that is part of just how that goes, is being flexible and thinking on the spot and having fun with it.
The having fun part is crucial, because sometimes we may forget to have fun because we're so focused on making sure we make good images, right? That it's like, but this is photography. Like, right? This is like something that we dreamed of doing. We're doing it at a high level. Why are we letting anxiety override the fun part of it? You know what I mean? So I'm gonna I love this photo. I love the colors, how all the colors came together. It
Thank
just
you.
it feels like, you know, it feels airy, it feels like a fantasy, it feels wow, I didn't know her hair was that long. I can see what you mean, because like now I'm looking at it and I see the hair all the way down at
Now you're gonna see it every time you look
the
at it.
bottom. Wow. Like, damn, Felicia, you ain't bringing no more hair? Nah, but it's a beautiful photo. And I think it works regardless of the hair. I mean, that's something that you know a lot more than, you see it more than anybody else does, but I think it's a beautiful photo, and I love how the colors, you know, play together, you know?
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about Quinta.
Yeah, this is Quinta Brunson for Rolling Stone. This was another one I had fun with. I mean, I try to, so I always try to have fun with my shoots, and I always try to push myself. Like, so when you were speaking earlier about like being hard on yourself about taking a good photo and stressing about making a good photo, I quickly realized it's not hard to take a good photo. Like, if you have gotten to the point where you are a professional photographer, you are making income from taking photos at any level, it's not hard for you or anyone to take a good photo. Like, you got there because you take good photos. And so for me, I try to remind myself of that. Like, it won't take much for me to do a good photo, but if I push myself to try to do an even better photo, like, what would that look like? Like, can I improve what my good photo is, like my good photo potential is, if I keep pushing myself? And so this image is a reflection of that, of me pushing myself to not just settle with a good photo. Whether or not somebody considers it a great photo or not, that's, to be determined, but I'm happy with the effort of not settling for a traditional standard portrait. And Quinta was like very open to this in the process. And so I remember when Rolling Stone reached out to me about this, the biggest request, it was Joe Rodriguez, the photo editor. He was just like, "I want to do something different." He was like, "I want to," he was like, "all of her photos, they're like very bright, and like light color palette." He was like, "I want to do something different." And I was like, "Okay, so let me go to the drawing board and like think of like how do we do something different that's not light and bright but still looks good, but also needs to be in a studio." In a particular part of town, like the shoots come with certain parameters that I have to work within. So like I can have as many ideas as I want, but when they present it, they're like, here are the initial parameters, so you got to work within that. So I'm like, in a studio, this is how much time I have. what can I do? I'm like, if it's in a studio, it's gonna need to be on a backdrop. Maybe like I gotta bring in some lights, but you know, I have a certain amount of budget for lights, so I can't have all the lights. I only have a few lights. And so this is what I landed on. I was like, let's just do all black. All black, and then if she can wear like neon color, so speaking to like the collaboration with Glam, so when I put together a mood board, I had references and descriptions of like an all black aesthetic, but then her wardrobe can be like neon color, so like really make her pop off of the background.
Still getting that brightness that represents a personality, right?
And I think that was the other thing is a lot of the images she, at least at this time, like she's been photographed a lot since then, but at least at this time, a lot of the images made her very jolly, and I think that was just like a reflection of her character, like the character she played in Abbott Elementary. And so we were trying to get to something a little different, like photographing her as who she is. She could be jolly, but just not taking that
She's not
into
one dimensional.
account. Yeah, like just not going into it like, let's just make her super happy and bright, you know? And so, yeah, she's actually very sassy and very much of a diva, which I loved when I was photographing her, and very much into fashion, which was nice to see. And so, when I looked at the wardrobe options, there were a lot of wardrobe options. The wardrobe stylist, the person she works with all the time, Brian Javar, brought everything. He like walked in with like two racks. I only had like an hour with her. I didn't have that much time. And I was like, okay, this is wonderful. And so I saw this one piece and it had the neon component at the top. I wasn't really sure how the bottom would work because the bottom was black. I was like, I don't know if we're gonna lose it. And so I did a few test shots with just the garment itself before she got dressed. And I was like, we can still see it. And I added like the accent light that you see on the left, the pink that's coming in. And then what you see in front of the camera is just me doing some in-camera effects to just accentuate her a little bit and just bring more to the image.
Would you mind sharing what some of those in-camera effects are, or is that like a secret recipe
It's not a
only?
secret recipe. I mean, you really just try things. This is something I made. It was originally a flower, and I took all the flowers off, and then I glued these jewels on top of it. Like, if you go to a craft store, you can like buy, you know, crafts. So there were some jewels that I bought. They were probably like this size, and I glued them on the top of the stem. So really, the flower was just a tool so I can hold them easily, because when I try to hold them in my fingers get in the frame, and I so it was just
You know what this
it
looks
was
like?
yeah
It looks like when you do a combination of like strobe and a constant light, and you kind of drag the shutter and have the person move around. It looks like that, but it looks like because her arms are out, it looks like she's it has like a flowy, colorful dress, and she's moving around, and you're getting like that shutter drag, but
I
it
mean,
looks
that's what
like
it is, though. I just asked her to be still.
so you did a shutter drag and wave something in front of the lens. Beautiful, beautiful.
And
Nice.
so that's what I mean by like, I always love when the people I'm photographing are also down to play and try new things because it takes effort on their part too. You know, like I can't do this by myself. So it's like, I'm like, do you want to try this? And they're always. I know people are always curious. They're like, what is that? What is going to happen? What is that going to do? And sometimes I'm like, I don't really know, but let's see. And if it looks cool, we'll keep doing it. And if it doesn't look good, then we don't have to do it anymore. We can stop and try something else.
Well, it's great that you had an hour with her, right? Because with some of these celebrities, sometimes it's like, man, you got 5 minutes, 10
Oh
minutes
yeah,
for you.
I've had those moments. But yeah, no, I think we had an hour.
That's great.
So yeah, it was good.
Nice. And I mean, so far we only four photos in, and every single one of these photos looks different from the other. So
Oh, I'm
how do
glad you think
you,
that.
I mean, look, completely
Like
different,
I'm gonna
like,
pull up the
yeah, completely different. But that's so as an artist, it's really, and look, another one, this one is different. as well, right? So as artists, I have this conversation with a lot of my creative friends in different fields, right? And the question I always come up with is, how do you know you found your voice versus you've become a one-trick pony, right? Meaning, how could, like, if you were to just leave your body of images, your body of work without your name on it, right? Would people be able to look at one photo from the next and say, oh, that's a Felicia photo, or that's an Idris photo, right? Or is it, and that's because you inject some of your personality, some of your life experience into the photo, and that kind of shines through. Or some people use the same lighting, same camera lens, same distance, focal point, all that stuff, and their photos look similar because they photograph it similar. You know what I mean? So, like, how do you inject your voice into your photos? Because you're able to get some, you're able to get these very famous women to kind of like look natural and comfortable. So, like, what do you do to help make them comfortable?
Okay, I got two answers. So first, the question about the voice. I don't think I've fully found my voice yet. I think I'm closer to it. But there are definitely things that I'm still trying to get better at and improve on, and that I want my images to look like, and they're not quite there. But there are, I would say, after shooting a lot, I started to see consistencies and things that I gravitate towards too. So like, I love color. Like, color is a big piece of my work if there isn't a color. And when I say color, I don't necessarily mean vibrant colors. Like, white is a color, black is a color. And it's funny because when I did the Hollywood Reporter cover shoot, the first image you showed in all white, when I was contacted, the photo editor, photo director Ash, when she contacted me, she knew that I like color in my work. And when I sent her the ideas and she saw all white, I think I said it over the phone. I was like, how about all white? And she was kind of like, okay. But yeah, like, I know I like color and playing around with that. I know I like texture. I know I like a natural, more of a natural aesthetic, and having people like be themselves. And so that's just something I'm still working towards, like finding, like getting to a point where I know, like, oh, this is my voice. And I don't know if people can look at images and know that it's my photo. Like, I'm not quite sure I'm there yet. And so I think when I am comfortable with my voice, then maybe I'll know that people will recognize it. So it's still something I'm working towards. And then in terms of making people comfortable, that's something I've learned over time, and I think why I've gotten a lot of assignments to photograph notable people is because it's not something I knew going into this. I didn't strive out to shoot celebrities or notable talent. I mostly just wanted to photograph people, but then after photographing a few notable people and realizing, oh, okay, like there's a different dynamic and like way of interacting with people who are always in front of the camera, that some people are good at it, some people maybe not as good at it. And actually, one of the photo assistants I work with all the time brought it to my attention, and he was kind of like, he was like, yeah, he was like, you're really good with talking to people. He was like, you're really good with just making people comfortable. And I like listened and I took it in, because photo assistants work on sets everywhere. Like, as a photographer, you're really only on your set. You don't really see what goes on other sets. So like, anytime I get feedback from assistants or whoever, I'm like, oh, let me know what you think, because I'm working in a bubble and I do things the way that I do things. But now that like that has been brought to my attention, I kind of lean into it and realize, like, I don't want to say I'm kind of, I am a down to earth person. And I think that helps when I meet people. It's like, there is a certain level of research I do ahead of time, but it's minimal. Like, I still try to approach the situation like, I've never met this person before. Like, how would I introduce myself to somebody I've never met? You know, like, I'm gonna say who I am. I'm gonna say, this is what we're doing today. Do you have any ideas? And just kind of be myself. And I think that helps them kind of let their guard down and be themselves too. I also very rarely talk to people about what they do because I don't want them to feel like they're working. Because many times I'm photographing them because somebody is already talking to them about what they do, whether it's a movie that's coming out, an album that's coming out, something's coming out, and somebody either right before this shoot or right after this shoot is going to grill them and talk to them about what they do. So I try not to do that. I try to talk to them about other things, like, I don't know.
It feels more human.
Yeah, it feels more human. And so I think that helps with making a real connection with real people, because they're also still real people, you know? Like, so, like, for example, Threads just came out. Are you on Threads? Did you get a thread yet? Threads, the new Twitter. Instagram made a new Twitter.
Oh, boy. Oh, I think I did see that. That's what that is?
Yeah. Okay. So, that may be something I, like, bring up, because it's, like, top of the news, it's light, you know, it's not confrontational. And that could just spark conversation and then help me learn a little bit more about, like, what they may want to talk about today.
Yeah.
And go from there.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think talking to people, like, all right, we know when somebody is famous for something, we could probably Google a whole bunch of things regarding, you know, their craft and learn about it, right? But when we ask people about things that nobody knows about them, about their interests, about, like, it's their favorite food to eat or something, right? Like, you know, then they can feel like they're not working. They're disarmed in a sense, because you're not approaching them like a fan.
Yeah.
Right? You're approaching them as, like, somebody who's genuinely interested in who they are outside of their fandom, right?
Yeah.
It's nice. So in regards to your voice, right? Looking at this image of Tessa Thompson, what about this photo makes you feel, like, draws you in regards to what you like about making images? Does that make sense?
Basically, what about this is my voice?
Yes. much better question. Yes, let's take that.
Okay, let me, like, pick it apart. One thing is, I would say, is the use of color and how it's used. I think it feels weird to say what I think I'm good at. Like, I'm trying to get better at that. So if I'm hesitating, just bear with me.
So, you know, let's switch up the language. You don't have to say what you're good at, but talk about what you like about it.
Okay, so what I like about this is the use of color and texture, but it's still minimal. And so it's not distracting. It doesn't take away from Tessa. And so that's something I always strive for in my photos. It's like, I like to have texture and variety and color, but I don't want it to overpower the person. I want it to be complimentary to whoever I'm photographing and feel like it's part of them. And so when I look at this picture, that's what I see. I see her being stylish and comfortable and relaxed, and just based on the few moments I got to spend with her, like, that's the vibe I got from her when I met her, is that she's like kind of chill, like she's kind of a chill soul. And so I think that comes out in this photo, and in some kind of ways it feels glamorous but not over the top. So beauty, like having a hint of beauty, is also part of my work, but not to the point where it, again, overpowers the person. Like, I still want you to see that it's Tessa.
Yeah. It's interesting that, you mentioned, what did you mention about, the colors not overpowering or texture, right? Mm-hmm. And you have like four different textures happening here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you made them work together, but you did. Right. And her sweater has a few different colors in it, and it has like these like threads. But then, and then you look towards the right over here, you have like this carpet that's similar in color, but has its own texture happening. You have this green couch that she's laying on, and then you have like this sheer blouse, or I'm not even sure,
skirt
happening. And all these four different textures, right? But her face is super clear in this expression. One thing I see, and one thing I notice in the images that I've seen so far, is that the the women looking at the camera, looking at you, right, feel very relaxed. And it's almost like we, for a second, we get to just be there in that moment with them, as opposed to feeling like I'm looking at a photograph. It feels like I'm actually there for a second with these different people.
Glad you said that because I always want people to see a person. Like I never, like I always wanted to feel like you were looking at them and not like a photo of, I mean, it's a photo, but I still wanted to look like you're looking right at Tessa. And so I'm
It
glad you feel that way.
feels like looking at these photos makes it feel like they are actually approachable.
Okay.
And to me, I think that's a good sign because these are people like super famous, you know, super famous. And to look at an image of them and feel like, wow, they actually look like a normal person, you know. Like I feel like I can approach them and just ask them about you know, anything that's going on, you know. So I think
Yeah.
that's a good sign.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Another
Oh, yeah,
one.
this was another one. Yeah,
How did
this
you
was.
approach this one differently from this one?
So once I saw what she was gonna wear, I mean, so I don't consider myself a fashion photographer. I definitely consider myself a portrait photographer, but fashion and beauty have a big hand in like how I see the image. Because I think fashion like speaks to the person's personality and like what they're feeling. Also like how can their body move? Like are they wearing something that's like really rigid and structured? If it is, maybe it works to put them in a rigid, structured environment. In this case, she was wearing greens and yellows and then her shoes. Like I'm saying this after the fact, like this happens really fast in my brain, you know? Like on the spot, but like after the fact, I'm like, oh, I think this is why this area spoke to me when I saw what she was wearing. And this was like in the backyard of the house we were renting at the time. And so once I saw what she was wearing, I was like, I think it may be cool for you to like kind of stand in here and like the sticks that were coming out of the garden kind of felt like leading lines to kind of frame her a little bit so that it wouldn't be too much green. It kind of breaks it up a little bit so that you still see her in the middle of the frame. The walkway or the path that she's standing on is also kind of leading, so it leads you right to her. So all of those like subtle things break up the color because it's kind of a color blocking situation. With the green and the yellow.
But it's just enough variation in the green to have it stand out, you know.
This was one of her favorite photos too, I remember.
Oh, that's great when you get the feedback from the person you're photographing. Yeah, nice.
So I think that's why this particular area stood out to me. And again, when it comes to like posing, like I don't always have poses in mind. A lot of times in the beginning, I lean on how a person may naturally pose because I'm trying to depict who they already are and not like put myself onto them. And so a lot of times it's me trying to find a setting or an environment that I think fits them. And then I put them in it and then I kind of see how they move. And so I think that's the situation here is like, she couldn't really walk very much because of the pebbles in her platform heels. It kind of made it tricky to walk on. And so that kind of forced this very like structured, grounded pose that you see here. And then I think she like naturally placed her hands there and I was like, oh, this looks great. Like, let's shoot that.
I do that a lot too. Sometimes I don't know how to pose somebody, but they'll do something that feels supernatural to them. And I'm like, stop, freeze, hold that. Right? And then try to make that work. So nice. Love the colors.
Because like she's definitely Tessa's not shy in front of the camera, so there are some people that I meet and they're like very open to direction and want more direction, and there's others that I meet that are very comfortable in front of the camera and we kind of can play off what they're already doing. And so I would definitely say she's someone who's like, I would just play off of what she was doing. I'm like, let's see where this goes. And then if something works, I'm like, oh, go back to this because that looked cool.
All right, so Felicia, we're at an hour already, right? So
Okay, I've been talking
I
too
wanna
much.
no, this is amazing. So I wanna try something. I wanna go through a few more photos and see if you can give me like a rapid fire response to like what you see. Like if you can remember something like a key moment in that in making that image, let's see if we can let's see what comes up when we try to do a rapid fire. You down with that?
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, I have no idea what he's about to show me. Like, I know my work, but just putting that out there, I don't know what's about to be in the rapid
All right. So,
fire.
all right. 3, 2, 1, let's go.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Dang, what? Give me.
Oh, yes. This was a personal test shoot that I did, and I love it.
And how did you decide to photograph from this angle?
I don't know. I think I just asked her to change. So one thing I try not to do is photograph people in the center of the frame a lot. Like it's something I try really hard at. Sometimes I forget. And so this may have been a moment where I was trying to get her body in a different position, and that angle worked nicely. Oh, this is from that same shoot, personal shoot. This is one of my favorite images ever.
Ever.
Yeah, so
Wow.
that's the rapid fire answer for you.
And I know you say you don't like to pick the people directly in the center, but her eyes directly in the center. Was that on
Yeah.
purpose? Or did you notice that?
I think it's just the pose. I just photographed it based on how she was sitting, and it just worked out that way that her eye was in the center. That wasn't necessarily intentional. I think it's just the aesthetic of, I think it's another play on being in the center without being
Exactly.
straight up forward
Yeah.
facing. That after the fact, I
And
see it.
the little patch of blue on the top left breaks it up that really
Yeah.
nicely.
Yeah.
And who did the hair and makeup? Who did her eyes?
A makeup artist I work with in LA, Jeannie, did
Okay.
her makeup. And
Nice.
the hair was by Marjorie, who did an
Nice.
amazing job with structuring her hair in this shape, because it
Yeah,
was a
her
lot of
eyebrows are
hair.
on point too, yo.
Yeah.
I don't normally look at eyebrows and all of that stuff, but I'm looking at it now, I'm like, yeah. They laced them. They laced them. All right. Next.
Oh, this is, oh yeah, rapid fire. This is No Name for Vanity Fair. This was one of my first assignments. Probably it was top two assignment, like one of my first two assignments. I can't remember if it was number one or number two, but it was it's special to me for that reason because one, it was one of my first assignments. I'm like, oh, somebody's hiring me and paying me. Two, it was Vanity Fair, so I was like,
Hell
let's do
yeah.
this. And then also, it was in the middle of COVID. So it was just myself, No Name, and one assistant. And we went to a park in LA. I remember No Name arrived by herself. She had to get dressed and glammed and everything before she got there just to keep the crew at a minimum. And it was very much part of like, it was nice because it was how I was shooting before I was getting hired. Like very minimal crews, very minimal resources, and trying to make beautiful images and make images that look like it took a lot to do it, and it did not.
So you're in your zone.
I was in my zone, and I definitely felt like this was like a perfect match.
Nice.
And so it was important because I remember when Vanity Fair called me about this, I didn't really have any paid work to show, and that was a question that I kept getting all the time. It's like, oh, who have you worked for? And it's kind of like people needed to know I worked for someone before they would hire me. And I was super appreciative that Vanity Fair saw potential in my work at that time, because this was in the September issue with Breonna Taylor on the cover. So it was also like a very, I'm sure will be historical issue. And it ended up being a spread. Can you go back to Felicia in 2020 and tell her like, girl? So I just remember how I felt, and I get excited about that, and I try to remind myself of that feeling.
And you have the opportunity to remind young photographers, like the way that you will go back to 2020 and speak to younger Felicia,
Yeah.
like the words that you're dropping now hopefully can be reaching photographers at the beginning of their journey,
Very true.
and you know, it can help them like advance a lot quicker than you did, just because they don't have to go through the same types of experiences you did in order to learn.
Exactly. So with
Perhaps.
that, what I would say is like you never know what job will take you to the next level. Like I didn't know, but when I got it, I could clearly see how like my own preparation before then, I was ready to shoot that. And so if there's nothing else you take away from this, it's just like keep shooting and keep making work and keep striving to be better because people are watching, somebody's watching. Sometimes it only takes one or two people to recommend you to something, and then that everybody sees it. This was definitely one of those things where a lot of people saw it, and then it put me on the radar of a lot of people. But once that happens, it goes really fast. And so there's not a lot of time to be like, oh, let me go learn how to do this or let me get ready. It's kind of like you just need to be working to be ready all the time.
And that's why it's important that, you know, you mentioned these personal projects. Personal projects are important because you experiment and you know, you test out a lot of things so that when you do get that moment, you don't have to come up with something completely from scratch, because you know that you've been trying out a few things, and the experimentation, the personal projects are how you actually find your voice, you know. Because you don't have anybody telling you what the final product should look like. It's all based on your own form of expression and what feels right and feels natural to you, right?
Oh yeah, this was Carol G for Allure. Rapid fire. What do I say rapid fire about this?
Well,
This was sh
why are you
yeah.
elevated? Why are you elevated?
Oh, I'm on a ladder.
Now, how did that come into play?
So this was shot at the Airbnb she was staying in at the time. And creatively, I did not want it to look like we were at the Airbnb she was staying in. And so I really was trying to play off of the greenery on the ground compared to the neighbors or whatever on the other side, you know? Between the greenery on the ground and the blue in the pool and her sitting in the chair, I just wanted to make a different vantage point because the vantage point from the ground just was a little blah. And so that's why I got on the ladder.
I mean, super effective, right? Because the green around her, all of this green around her, is almost equivalent to having to setting up a backdrop, right?
Very true.
So when you elevate yourself, now you get to you remove all of the background, distracting background of other houses, and you know that may not be as attractive, right? So now you can simplify it, giving her own background. And then I also like how her hair plays into the color of her hair plays into the color, sort of in the color of this the fence, but definitely the
The
color of the
pool.
water. And one thing about photography, which is crazy, is just learning how to direct people's eyes, have their eyes move around the frame the way you want. And from here, my eye goes from here back to the pool, but still keeping her in my peripheral vision. So it's really interesting how these colors play together. And then like the softness of this pink is not as vibrant as the pink outfit she has on, but it still goes together. So it's like little accents. So really nice, really nice.
Thank you. I love that her hair was blue. When I found out I was gonna get to photograph her, I was so excited. Her hair's not blue
Nice.
anymore. She's changed it a few times, but
But it
that was
worked for
definitely
this
a fun
one.
moment.
It worked for this one.
Oh, this is Carol G again. Rapid fire. This is one of my favorite photos ever.
So we got two of your
Yeah,
favorite
I feel
photos
like I'm
ever,
not doing
okay?
really good at the rapid fire
No,
responses.
it's all good. A favorite is a favorite, you know it? Let's just leave it at that. But let's jump into these three queens.
The Wakanda Queens.
Oh my goodness.
This I might need like 3 minutes to talk about it.
Yo, take your time.
So this was shot for People Magazine and it was part of the press junket tour that they were doing for Wakanda wherever for Wakanda Forever, the newest movie. And so what happens on a press junket tour is whoever the actors are, they have several different outlets that they have to speak to in one day. And so they may be set up in a hotel or conference room or, I don't know, different location where they can go from one to the next. Like they may spend 30 minutes to hour one and go to the next. And so when I got this call and people explained the situation, they were like, it's a press junket tour, so you're only gonna have like 10 minutes to photograph them. Because people was allotted, I want to say, I think people was allotted 30 minutes total, and they had to split that 30 minutes between photo and video. And so they were like, you won't have much time. And I was like, well, that doesn't matter. I was like, well, I have time to set up before they get there. I was like, if I can get like 2 hours, an hour or 2 hours to set up before they get there, then we could still get something nice. And so I was granted time to get to the conference room and set up before they got there. So when they got there, it was like, we got 10 minutes, let's make magic. But mostly I'm pointing out that preparation piece because I wanted to do something special for them. Like I didn't want to do a white backdrop like it was recommended. Like maybe you can just do a white backdrop. Just thinking of what is quick and efficient for the space and the time. Like you're gonna be in a conference room. There's low ceilings, there's not a lot of space. We could just throw up a white backdrop and you shoot them against that. But again, like knowing myself and my own personal aesthetic, I love pops of color. And that just would not, that was just not gonna do it for me. So I was like, what about red? And let me tell you, they were nervous, okay? When I say they, I mean people. They were nervous because it's red. It's a very bright color. Also, I did not know what they were gonna wear because this was a situation where you don't know what it's not just you that they have to show up for. You kind of just get there, you see what they have on, you have your moment to take their picture, and then they go on to the next thing. And so it was definitely something that like I was gambling, like they could show up in like green and then this won't work. Like it may look like Christmas colors or something. And so I did have a backup plan, which was a black duvetine to just basically do a black backdrop. So if you were to see like the full body image of this, the floor is the black duvet. And so my backup plan was if I get there and we set up and then I'm able to find out what they're wearing before they come, if it doesn't work for them to be against the red, we're just gonna hang up the black duvet. Use the same light, but they'll just be against black. So just throwing it out there, just be prepared. And so when I found out what they were wearing, I was like, oh, this is perfect. They're gonna look so good on this red. I was like, their skin is gonna pop. They're just
Oh,
gonna
they look so
like
beautiful.
jump off of this. Like I was like ecstatic. I was like, this is gonna work. And it worked.
So I love these photos. I love the contrast between these two photos. Like, I feel like just in the whole Black Panther series, I feel like the talent feels like they're family,
Oh,
right?
they got along really well. Like they've known each other for a while.
And if you see that on camera, and then all the photos from all the press from the first two movies, like they genuinely like each other, like they love each other, right? And that comes through in these photos. Like it looks like did you have to speak to them for them to like get all like silly and laugh together, or they were just like walking in the set like just already giggling?
So they came in one by one. They didn't come in together. So like I can't remember who arrived first, but basically like we had to wait. Like one arrived and it's like, okay, we need the other two. 'Cause the other thing is I wasn't allowed to photograph them
Individually.
individually. Like I tried. I knew that going into it, but people have PR teams and their PR teams know what the task is. And so we kind of just had to wait. And then once everyone arrived, it's like, okay, now they can all walk over to the backdrop to be photographed together. And so I could tell that they knew each other very well. That was fine. But I did like jump in to like talk to each one of them and try to go ahead and make that instant connection because, like I said, I did not have a lot of time to shoot them. But it's very important for them to know like who I am and have a sense of comfort with me because I need their full attention for that 10 minutes. And so I spent maybe like a minute, like just chopping it up with them about something random. Like Letitia, she had a birthday either like the day before or coming up. So like mentioning that, just a few different things. Like I think one of them was on a cover recently. I think it was Denai had a cover shoot that just come out. Like just picking like quick things that I knew about each one of them to talk to them about, to like address like, oh, I know who you are. That was amazing. We're gonna have a great time today. And so that kind of like opened them up to me. And then the next thing was music. Like I play music on sets. A lot of times I may start with like Prince or like a Prince radio, because that's like I haven't found anyone who doesn't like Prince, and that's usually a good starting point. But I'll always ask, like, is there a certain type of music you want to hear? And they wanted to listen to Beyonce. And so this was when I think Renaissance was still like fresh. And so we started playing Beyonce, and that like that kind of livened it up, because myself included, there were certain songs that we were like all vibing to. And so that kind of like loosened it up a little bit. And then it was kind of like me just like shooting, but then also playing off of their energy, because I'm always mindful of time, even when I want to be 100% like focused on photo. Like in the back of my mind, I still know like I don't have a lot of time, so I got to get the goods
I gotta
fast.
wrap this up. Gotta
Yeah, I
wrap
got
this
to
up.
get the stuff before they like pull me off. And so, I'll shoot a few frames one way, and then I'm like, okay, let's like change this up and let's try something different, or like let me have you do this. And like this particular pose was like an on the fly decision, because I wanted to get them like next to each other, but I didn't want the pose to be like traditional or like something that's common. But I'm also like, I don't have nothing for them to sit on. It's like they need to be next to each other, but I don't just want them to stand there. So I think I was kind of just like, how about you put your hand up here? How about the two of you hold hands? And then I stood
Yo,
back. I was like, this'll work.
this I see this photo and like I get emotional looking at this, right? Because I see these three powerful black women who love each other, and knowing what that film represents for the black community, and seeing this photo just full of love, full of power, I see this and I'm like really happy seeing like just how they are posed together and just full of love, and the red does something very powerful. I think red and purple to me feel like the most regal colors, right?
I can see that. Yeah, and gold.
And green. They go, okay. I think
Okay,
put a bunch of black folks against any of these backdrops and it feels
feels
regal.
regal.
Exactly, right? But this one in particular, I just love the fact that, the contrast between hold the hands and then the hand on the shoulder, to me just gives the eye something to kind of go up and down to up across the frame. It just feels really authentic. And it's very, very strong photo, and I think I'm gonna end the rapid fire on
And
this
then
one.
one
But you
other
have something
thing
else to share?
with this photo that I did not know before doing this. And so in the middle, Danai, like after hearing a little bit of like their interview and like the story of the three of them and how they all met and came to know each other, Danai, from what I heard and what I remember, like is the one that brought the three of them together.
Like on to be part
Not
of the movie.
necessarily on the set, but just like in their acting careers and their journey as an actor, like with
Oh
the
wow.
schools that they went to. Yeah. And I didn't know
Wow.
that. And so when I saw this photo, I was like, oh, it's very fitting that she's in the middle, and basically
She's
like
the
helping
glue.
guide all of them in a certain direction.
Wow. Beautiful.
So I was like, oh, now it like has a meaning. So when I have to like speak super intellectual about it, I can make it seem like I did that on purpose. I didn't.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that image so much. And I'm glad we ended on that image. So,
Yeah, thank you.
Felicia, thank you. Thank you for your time. This was great. I hope that folks out there were able to pick up on, some of the behind the scenes tips and strategies that go into making images. It's not just about knowing how to work your camera, but it's about how do you balance your technical ability with the camera with your personality to make sure that that comes through in images that you make. And you seem to do a really good job with that. And going through your body of work, the images that you shared, it looks like you are tasked with photographing women of color. Either you're tasked with that, or that's just the images that resonate the most with you, that you share the most. But regardless, I think that it's a dope responsibility that you've embarked on,
Yeah, I mean, I'm
because
a black woman, you know, I like to make sure we look good.
exactly. But we don't always get the jobs that we want that resonate with us, right?
Yeah,
So the
that's
fact
true.
that you are getting those opportunities is really, really amazing. So Felicia, thank you
Thank
for
you.
sharing your time and your insight and some of your tips and tricks of how you
Thank
make
you.
beautiful
I have one
imagery.
other comment to that comment. So I do photograph a lot of people of color, black people, black women. But I didn't necessarily put out a broadcast that says I only photograph black women or people of color. And I kind of noticed, you know, with us just talking about our journeys as photographers, specifically black photographers, I kind of noticed that black photographers get tasked with shooting black people, which is amazing. I'm sure we love shooting black people, but we don't always necessarily want to be pigeonholed into only shooting. So, like, if other opportunities come up, it's not really. Like, we don't want to shoot, you know, key art that doesn't have black talent, or we don't want to shoot editorials that don't have black talent. And so I feel like we're in a space where black photographers are getting more opportunities, but the opportunities that we're getting are still narrow in some sort of way.
I agree with that. We don't want to be overlooked for projects
Right.
that feature black folks, but we all also want to be only considered for those projects,
Exactly.
and I think we should be able to take advantage of opportunities outside of the black community as well. Same way,
Yes.
white photographers get to photograph whatever they want,
Yes.
in a sense, right? Like, same for us. If we're talented with a camera, we have a good visual aesthetic. We have a good personality that brings out somebody's natural personality, right? We should be considered for those jobs as well.
Yes.